Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Shani Afan-Nikak, Senior Associate and Attorney at Adams and Adams. We wanted to understand how important a prenup is during a divorce, and especially as it regards to pensions savings. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Good morning. It's lovely being with you here this morning.
So are you seeing it as well? Are you? I mean, I don't know if it's anecdotal, but certainly I'm reading figures of around about 30% increase in couples getting divorced.
That is most definitely true. We have been inundated with new divorce queries this year, and I think that's coupled with the COVID pandemic. And usually we see a normal increase around about January, February, directly after the December holidays.
Yeah, so I guess it is that it follows that type of thing, couples spending time together and realizing that actually this isn't for them. So, but then they decide that they are going to get a divorce. How important and how does a prenup determine the pension savings?
So a prenup, or like we refer to it, is an anti-nuptial contract. What is important is to remember that an anti-nuptial contract must be signed before you say, I do. And in terms of that agreement, there are three different types of anti-nuptial agreements, and you have to elect under which marital regime you wish for your marriage to fall. Now, with regards to your question concerning pension funds and the protection of your pension funds, that is dependent entirely on what you did in your anti-nuptial contract. Let's say, for example, you are married in community of property. That would mean that there is one case. And both people, both parties, they put everything they have into this one estate. So whether it's the flour or the sugar, whatever.
Everything goes into one pot.
And that one case is shared. That means the pension fund is also shared. If you want to protect your pension fund from your spouse, should you get into a divorce, you will have to specify that in an out-of-community of property contract with the accrual. So out of community of property without the accrual, your pension fund will automatically be protected. Since an out of community of property marriage, there is nothing that is shared. The out of community of property marital regime with the inclusion of the accrual means that the growth in the estate are shared. If you want to exclude your pension fund in those instances, your anti-nuptial contract must specifically state that.
Right. So you have to, and you've got to think about these things before. The problem is, of course, that many couples getting married are in their 20s. They're young. They are absolutely in love. They can't imagine a situation where, even if they're given the statistics, even if they're given that information, they can't imagine that they could be one of the couples whose marriage doesn't survive. So it's very difficult, I imagine, to confront these type of issues when you are when you're getting married.
Yes. What I try to explain to young couples sitting in front of me, firstly, I say to them that you think about divorce only once during the course of your marriage, and that is today.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Deal
I
with
love
an anti-nuptial contract in a business-like fashion, as you would deal with it, you know, as a business transaction. What parties should, however, also remember is that your anti-nuptial contract is not only relevant with regards to a divorce, but it also has a huge impact on your deceased estate should one of the parties pass away. And that is especially so in a in-community of property marriage or an out-of-community of property marriage with the inclusion of the accrual. So partly, an anti-nuptial contract is there to protect you for divorce, but it's also important to do some estate planning.
Yeah, it was interesting. We've been married for 30 years and we were very young. I was 22 when we got married, and I remember sitting down with the attorney, and he was this very much a weather beaten experience, probably divorced more times than I can even imagine.
Yeah.
And he sat us down and said, look, you're probably going to get divorced, so now can we just do this properly? And we sort of looked at it, and I kind of, I think I prefer your approach to it.
No, definitely. And I mean, no one gets married by planning to get divorced.
Absolutely.
If that is your plan, you should rather not get married.
100%.
And that's why I say today is the first and the last time that you consider a divorce, and then you live your life after you sign that contract, you live your life as you would without thinking about that contract every single day.
So what do you recommend? What do you recommend for couples getting married? What is the most efficient or beneficial way of managing this?
Well, firstly, I can say that people should not get married in community of property. In community of property, there is absolutely no protection to either of the parties from third parties. So let's, for example, say the husband starts up a big business and the business fails. That means the bank can take the home of both parties. They can take everything. Mm. So definitely not in community of property.
Okay, rule number one. Definitely
rule
not community
one,
property.
Don't get married.
Don't even think about
community
it.
Community of property.
Right.
Now, there might be different views on this. This is purely my personal view and which I've seen in practice. Secondly, it would be, you know, the only other option is out of community of property, and then the decision lies with a tool or without a tool. Usually for parties who get married much later in their lives, where they have already accumulated some wealth or some assets, it might be, or they have children from previous marriages, it might be prudent for those parties to get married without the approval. For parties who are quite young and they still have dreams and plans, then I might consider with the approval. The approval, I will give a simple example why I sometimes suggest the approval. If, for example, say it's a man and a woman, and the party decides that the wife is going to give up her career and look after the six children for a few years. During that time, the husband continues to build his estate, he continues to work, and what's mommy doing? She's looking after the kids. The husband decides that the pretty young secretary is a better flavor, and he decides to, you know, leave his wife for the secretary. If those parties are then married without the approval, it means that the mother walks out with nothing. Just because she did not work in the formal sector, she works by being a mother.
Absolutely.
So in those circumstances, an accrual system is more fair and equitable, and that is ultimately what our law is, especially the Matrimonial Property Act and the Divorce Act, is to make it fair and equitable.
Yeah, so the, and the accrual does exclude certain things, doesn't it? It does exclude things like inheritance and things like that.
Yes, it excludes donations and inheritances, and you can, in an antenuptial contract where you have the accrual, you can also exclude specific assets. Let's say, for example, the wife has, there's a family farm, and she wants to protect that family farm for the family. Then in the contract, you can specifically exclude that contract. It is very sad for me. I so often see couples that come and sit in front of me, and they are then faced with a contract they signed 20 years ago when they were young and in love, really understanding what their rights are and are not. So I really suggest that young couples seek guidance from an attorney, and also people in their marriages very often, when clients approach me, they don't even know what they signed. So I always suggest that if you intend on getting divorced, if divorce is something that's in the back of your mind, seek the assistance of attorney to at the very least understand what your rights are and what you signed those 20 years ago.
Absolutely. Very, very valuable and sensible advice. Shani van Niekerk, Senior Associate and Attorney at Adams and Adams. It is 8:55. Jenny says the number one cause of divorce is actually marriage. Just saying.